It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo. Good morning.
Good morning. Good. It's very early today.
It's
very early. How are the birds, Kara? How are your birds?
I just checked them because I knew that everyone was going to want an update. And we still have 5 perfect little eggs in the nest, but no hatchlings yet. So mama bird, she's gotten to where I can pretty much open the door now and walk out and she'll stay in the nest and look at me. And today I opened it. I was like, mama bird, you need to come out. And she's like glaring at me. Like, granted, she's like a foot from my face. I'm like, you need to get out of there so I can look at your nest. And she flies out real quick. And I look. Just 5 little perfect eggs, no babies. I'm thinking any day, though. I'm going on a cruise this weekend, and I think when I come back, there'll be babies.
Did you write down the date that she started setting on them?
No, I forgot.
Seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, actually, I think I did put it on my calendar. I'll look. I put it on my calendar because I was wanting to know, but it should be any day.
Well, our goose eggs are due to hatch in like 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we have the calendar date on the whiteboard. So we looked it up, calculated it, bought binoculars so that we could enjoy the experience. Because unlike your sweet little bird who lives in your door, I'm not sure I want to go tango with Mama Goose to see what's going on underneath her nest.
Yeah, I really have a front row view. So I think that's... And she's gotten to where she's just used to me swinging the door open and closed. Like, it's just part of the thing now. So it's wild. I keep telling Easton, he comes home from school and he'll come in. He'll like bust into that door and I'll be like, slow down. Don't slam it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Every time. Oh, yeah, I forgot. So I'm surprised they're not scrambled at this point.
poor little birds. Poor little birds. Oh, my goodness.
I wish I was having a better experience with birds hatching than you guys are nesting, because now the birds at the ranch, the barn swallows are back from the south and they're pooping all over everything.
Oh.
And now some kind of like little black bird, I don't know if it's grackle or what it is, it's pulling all the insulation out of the top of the barn.
Oh, no. Oh gosh. You got the bird menaces at your house.
Keep those over there.
Well, those are at the ranch, not at my house. The birds at my house are nice. They're all nice.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness. I just was sitting here thinking that the bird sagas around here have been going on quite a while, because I remember 1 year barn swallows. Like, I love our barn swallows because they eat mosquitoes. So we like protect them at all costs. And one of them built a nest in my horse trailer. And I'm like, okay, I can't haul horses until the birds are done. Oh.
I'm not talking one barn swallow. We have a whole, there's got to be 50 or 60 of them.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. And they always come back and nest in that barn. And they have their babies. And they get them flying. And then they're gone. I mean, they stay like maybe a month, 2 months. I guess about 2 months.
Wow. You know, spring has definitely hit in our world.
Yeah.
It sure has. Well, and speaking of communities of birds, how'd you like that segue?
Nice.
For after that awkward segue, we have a lot of things going on happily in our community. Conversation, sharing of photos, getting to know each other.
Yeah, it's been busy in there the last couple of days.
And it's so much fun to get to know people at a different level, kind of on a regular basis, and in a place that's dedicated kind of away from the distractions that happen when you're on social media. It's nice to get in and concentrate just on photography and people you know are very like-minded, especially with equine photography. So I personally think that that's an amazing thing about our community and the sisterhood that is growing inside our community. And we do have a couple of men in there as well. I don't want to say just all women, but the guys that are in there are really cool. It's a lot of fun to get to know people at a completely different level.
I would agree with you. And I'm actually working on, based on the last couple of podcast topics that we've had, I've been working on some materials to put in there too. I got inspired this week and I'm hoping to get at least one of them in there before I leave for this cruise this weekend. So,
oh my goodness. Well, that's not very long because we're sitting here recording this on a Thursday. You need to kind of get on that.
I know, I leave tomorrow.
Goodness, Kara.
Oh no, it's it. I'm good.
I was thinking I was good to get my one thing in last week that was like my one thing for the month.
Well, I'm waiting to be able to feel good about talking again. I had dental surgery on Monday and they pulled a tooth out. And frankly, I stay pretty well out of pain as long as I don't talk. If I talk a lot, it starts to really hurt.
True dedication to this cause by being on here.
True dedication to the podcast to sit here and talk for an hour. It yep. actually takes a few hours. Like if I'm talking for 3 or 4 hours, that's when it starts to get really painful. But that should tell you how much time I spend talking. I've got a lot of stuff I want to get recorded over the next few days. And hopefully if I can rest my mouth the rest of today, tomorrow, I will be healed up enough that it won't be painful to talk. And I think it just has to do with the fact of how I hold my mouth when I talk. It's weird. I don't know. It's you know me and I love to talk. It's not a it's not a good thing for me to be painful when I'm talking. Okay, Phyllis, go ahead. Sorry.
Kara's talked about what she's about to do. I'm going to talk about what I'm about to do, even though I know this will be in the past when this recording comes out. But yes, I'm leaving for Scotland next week.
Ooh, what day do you leave? Wow, you are leaving soon. I forgot about that. That's exciting.
Yeah. So anyway, now we can talk about whatever it is we're talking about.
Now we can talk about the community again.
But you get to photograph horses while you're there too, because you're photo, right? Or are you just photographing our friend Sigrid?
Well, she has horses, and then we'll see. Then we're going to a Clydesdale place.
You're going to the Clydesdale place?
If it's Clydesdale place in Scotland.
Maybe we'll see some, what else is over there? Well, not the Welsh. Yeah.
Well, there's Welsh, but there's those yeah. wild ponies. When we went, and I can't remember, my dear friend Kai, who got married over there, she actually hired me as her wedding photographer. And I absolutely said yes, because it included a trip to England for Nick and I. And he videoed for her. But they took us on a whole tour and we took photos of like wild ponies in these beautiful hills in the north of England. So, and I don't know whether you'll get to that.
I don't know. It's going to be amazing, though. I'm wishing you the best time and can't wait to see your pictures and tell our friend Sigrid that you said hello, that we all said hello. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's a sister trip, so it can't be all about photography.
Oh, gotcha.
Even though I want it to be.
Well, you can get your sister into photography.
Oh, well, she has a very good eye. She just would rather point at something and tell me to take a picture of it.
Take a picture of that.
That's a different thing for you, isn't it?
It's okay.
That's interesting. Yeah. Goodness. Okay, here comes another awkward segue.
Okay.
So speaking of sisters, we have a couple of sister organizations that we want to talk about.
Since we keep getting off topic, you're doing a really good job of forcefully dragging us back to it. Good job.
Oh, goodness. So there are two organizations that we all three are deeply involved in and love to support that are also involved in kind of joining into our community as well. And those are Equine Photographers Network, which we have talked about on this podcast a few times, and then Cowgirl Artists of America. And the organizers for both of those organizations are in our community. It's Corrine Shippers for Equine Photographers Network and Megan, what is Megan's last name?
Wimberly.
Megan Wimberly with Cowgirl Artists of America. Both these ladies are just awesome. And if you're in our community, I really encourage you to look them up and talk with them, especially if you have an interest in with Equine Photographers Network about publicly promoting yourself as a photographer or having further networking opportunities within an organization that supports specifically equine photographers. And then also with Megan, if you're interested in fine art photography or doing reference photography for artists, Megan is a really good contact for that. Both these organizations are fantastic, and they make really good compliments to what we do and with Cowgirls with Cameras community. Do you guys have anything to add to that? Or,
well, I was just going to say, it looks like Cowgirl Artists of America, their open enrollment is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their open enrollment is only open from April 1st through the 30th. So I guess by the time this episode probably comes out, enrollment will be closed. But definitely check on them. You can follow them online and then keep an eye out for when they have special events or when their enrollment opens back up again. Just throwing that out there too, that
some of the events that they do are open to the public too.
Yeah.
And EPNet, you can join at any point in time, and they have memberships for photographers who are just at a basic hobby type level, a general membership, and then a professional membership, which includes a directory listing and some public facing stuff on their website, which is well known within the equine publishing community, as well as for opportunities for shooting. So again, check them out, have a look around. For me personally, I belong to a lot of different organizations. And to be honest with you, that's the way I have built my business, is through networking. And I have done it successfully now for 30 plus years. And I can tell you that it makes a huge difference in getting to know people and really reaching out and getting to meet people within your industry and referring to them and having them refer to you. It is the best way to make new clients, because they usually come in pre-sold, ready to go, and it's just happiness all around.
There you go.
All right. So now I have no awkward segue for getting into our topic. There's no metaphor that I can pull out right at the moment. That's weird if I'm at a loss for a metaphor. But anyway, onward and upward, we're going to be talking about inspiration to motivate you to get more video into your life. So last episode, we talked a little bit about how to start including video in your sessions. And we're going to further deep dive on that subject today. And we're going to talk a little bit about some inspiration to help you get excited about using video, and also to give you some ideas. I know a lot of people, they struggle with, like, well, what do I do with video? I want to do it, but I don't quite know what I want to do with it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about planning and some ideas about how to think about shooting video. Kira is going to give you the fantastic lowdown on B-roll. So if you don't know what that is, Kira will explain it to you. And I'm going to tell you it's a big part of planning and shooting for your video is B-roll. And then Phyllis is going to give us a little bit of education about kind of the final production pieces of going from your raw footage into a completed video. Without further ado, let me dive into kind of what I want to talk about, which is planning and getting inspired to want to shoot. I think that for me, video kind of falls into one of three categories. So, or at least in my current life, it falls into one of three categories. I kind of look at it as vignettes. I see these a lot on social media. It's what I've posted on social media. And I think it's kind of what we expect sometimes from especially Western photographers who are storytelling about the Western lifestyle. Just a vignette is nothing but just a little snippet, a little peek into the life of what goes on behind the scenes in a shoot, what goes on in a photography business, what goes on in the life of people who interact with horses or the Western lifestyle. Vignettes, planning for that type of thing is, if you look when you're looking at your scene in front of you, and I am a still photographer first, I'm going to shoot till I get the still I know I want, and then I'm going to go for the video, but I want to look for the story of what's going on, but I'm only going to tell one little piece of the story. For example, a horse riding, like a rider riding away into the distance in a beautiful backdrop, or a rider moving cattle at sunrise. All those are vignettes that give us a peek as a viewer into the lifestyle of what the subject is up to. And they're usually very inspirational, and there's music involved with them, but they don't have a lot of words. There's not a lot of detail to it. It's more of just a look inside that particular moment. Then for photographers specifically, and if you're looking to market your photography, this is a really good form to look at, which would be hybrid. So this is where we're taking video and we're combining it with stills. You'll have a little bit of video and then you'll have stills. I see this particular technique used by a lot of photographers where they'll video the scene from far away and sometimes they'll be in it. So I'm assuming they're setting up a tripod or they have an assistant that's actually doing the video. And then they'll show the resulting photos from that. Or they'll video the scene and then show the photos that they took either before or after that. And hybrid can be really nice in illustrating what it is that you as a recipient on the photography end, like say a client or a company or something like that would receive from the photographer. So it's a good way to promote your business. So that's another inspirational technique to use. And then there's long form. Long form is where we're shooting for a little bit longer, may include some audio. And long form video in 2025 is vastly different than long form video. As a definition, when I started shooting video, everything was long form. Like you didn't do short videos. If you did a short video, it was a commercial. Today, long form video is video that's over a minute. So it can be anything from a minute to even 5-10 minutes, or if you're getting into more educational content, you know, that's hours long or an hour long or 45 minutes long. But if you're doing long form video, you have to be able to hold the attention of the viewer for a longer period of time. A vignette is going to be really quick. It can be, I've seen Kara publish vignettes that are, what do you typically shoot for, Kara? Like 15 seconds? Like you want to keep your videos under 15?
Yeah, it could be anywhere between 5 seconds to 30 or 40 seconds.
Yeah. So those vignettes are really, really typically short, whereas long form is going to, you're going to have to hold people's attention longer. And the kind of rub in doing long form video with DSLRs is that if you're going to shoot a longer scene where you're not going to just like put clips together to create that long form video, you've got to be pretty steady because the longer the clip is, the more the camera movement will show up. So just be aware of that if your intention is to do long form. So how do you pick from one of these three things? Well, I think you've got to go back to the beginning and say, what are you shooting this for? Are you shooting it as part of a package to go with the client's work? Are you shooting it for them to use on their social media? Let's say you're a commercial photographer. Are you shooting it to promote what you're doing as a photographer? Are you shooting it to inspire people and gain followers on social media? I think you've got to kind of look at what's the purpose behind, what is your intention to do with this footage? And I will be honest, there's a lot of times I shoot footage just to shoot footage, that there's not a tremendous amount of intention behind it. What about you two? Do you think ahead and like go, okay, I know we all have in mind social media, but do you have other things that you have intentional that you shoot for?
It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm shooting, if we're at an event or something and my goal is to get images, I'm only shooting video as a supplement to tell that story even more, or to have short little pieces that I can use to advertise what we're doing. But if I'm shooting video for a client, I usually put a lot more work into planning the scenes that we're going to shoot and like how to tell that story and all those little pieces that we need to make that happen. I would use a checklist for that.
What about you, Phyllis?
Kind of the same. I think mostly what I've done for social media has been like vignettes. I have done a couple of hybrids. I've done a couple of commercial shoots, but they were all just real short snippet vignette type shoots. I've got a couple of farm shoots coming up that they want some sale video done. So they might be a little bit longer, but not a lot.
Yes, sale videos do tend to get long form, but sale videos in particular are going to be more long form. Long form video has a little bit of a different requirement than the vignette video. If you're dipping your toe into this, like you're just getting started, starting with the shorter form video, I think is easier than trying to dive into the long form. But back to knowing your purpose, there's one more thing I want to add to that before we roll over to Kara, who's got a really nice list of ideas for you to start thinking about. And that is where you're going to publish this, because different outlets have different requirements. So if you're shooting for short form video to go on Reels or TikTok, you do have time limits, and YouTube Shorts and Facebook and everywhere else that's doing short form vertical video. You also have that vertical aspect that you have to consider. If you're doing longer form video, you may not, if you're doing it for YouTube, you may want to have the horizontal, and you may want to have a dual purpose where you have to shoot it horizontal, but then for the vertical video, you crop it in post so that you have the vertical video so you can use it in both ways. And developing a good sense of how to keep your subject well aligned in an image so that you can carry it from short form vignettes for vertical video up into longer form stuff in horizontal is an art that takes a little bit of practice, but it's definitely doable. But do know the time limits for the platforms that you're going to be publishing on, what type of video they need, whether it's vertical or horizontal, that's going to get the best attention. If it is in horizontal, is it going to translate in the smaller screen? Because by the time you reduce it down to go into a vertical space, then you're going to be problematic. Or do you have it in a way that you can crop it and it still makes sense so that you can fill the frame in vertical? Then also, what is the purpose, the final purpose of why you're doing this? Like, are you marketing your business? And then look at the video and ask yourself, is this something that a client would see value in hiring me for, or would be inspired to want to have me come work for them? Or if you're doing it for a business as a commercial purpose, does it sell the product or service that is being shown in the video? Definitely some things to consider along the way.
When I think about the video that I've been shooting a lot recently, I think about it as B-roll, as the supplemental video footage that I create to support the images I'm making at the time. And I'll be using that video for a couple different purposes. I use it in the slideshows when I'm showing the images. So I meet with all my clients, we look at their images in a slideshow, and it's really nice to be able to have the images that we created intermixed with the video footage, the little snippets to kind of just really bring home the emotion of that moment. So I'm real strategic about making sure after I get the shot, I shoot a video clip of that as well. But I'm also using B-roll footage to show. I use it a lot on social media. We use it for Cowgirls with Cameras, just to show what we're doing out in the world from, you know, day to day when we're out there. So Kim just talked to you a little bit about kind of a plan, kind of thinking through what you're shooting, defining it, what you need to consider when you're doing it. But I want to think a little bit more about some of the things that I'd suggest in terms of just getting the shot. A couple of things to consider is, I'll do the same thing. I'll stand in one spot and I'll shoot the video. I'll shoot the scene, still images, and then I'll shoot the same thing in video. But when you're shooting video, you can do just like when you're shooting photography, you can get creative. You can shoot wide shots. You can shoot close up. You can get low. You can shoot high. You can do time lapses. I mean, one of the easiest things to do is set your cell phone up for a time lapse video and shoot what you're working on. Thinking about, when you're thinking about telling a story with your photography, you think about how that variety can help tell the story. It's the same thing with the video footage that you're gathering. Having that variety can really keep your video footage just more engaging. So definitely start out by just trying to move your feet, try a bunch of different camera angles. The other thing you can think about doing is moving the camera. So just like with your photography, if you're panning a scene or you're doing intentional movement, you can also move the camera with video to change things up. So don't just stick to those fixed video shots. Use pans, tilt your camera, track your subjects. Finding ways to add movement and energy is a lot of fun with video. If you're filming yourself, which I do that sometimes, where I'm filming myself walking towards the camera, walking by the camera, just to add to the story that I'm trying to tell, you can do things like walking through the frame, putting up a tripod, just anything to like get yourself into that scene too. A couple things I suggest, things like I mentioned getting close. So get those close-up shots. So think about, what are the relevant objects in that scene? What are the actions that are happening in that scene that I want to make sure that I capture? So think about like buttoning up a shirt or zipping up a jacket on a cold day, or tying a wild rag, saddling a horse. You know, just what are the details of that that you can capture? film entrances, film gates, film signs, film exit locations or subjects, just to put things into context, like where are you at on that scene? I often forget about this part. And sometimes I find myself when I'm leaving a location, I stop and shoot the entrance of the place as I'm heading out the gate. After I pack my camera up, I'll remember, oh, shoot, I got to get the sign. And I'll pull over and grab the sign on my way out the door after a shoot. I would suggest also thinking about things in terms of shoot in sequences. Start with establishing the shots that you need and then move in to shoot that same scene up close at a medium distance. Just really doing whatever you can to kind of help tell that complete visual story. And then consider the order in which these actions happen. So capture each step for smoother editing down the line. So if you're photographing someone saddling a horse, capture them throwing the blanket up over and positioning it. Capture them tossing the saddle over. Capture them tightening the saddle. Capture them bridling. Capture them adjusting the reins. These are all things that you can capture to tell the story later. You may not use all of it, but having it is better than not having it. Always shoot more than you think is necessary. It's always better to have way more than what you need. And you may end up using it somewhere else. I'll find myself thinking about, like, where do I have a scene where I've got someone's hand tightening a saddle that I could put in the place of, because I didn't get that at this other location. I can make it work. So I do have a whole bunch of like B-roll ideas. I have a kind of a general list. And then what I'm putting together right now is actually something that's going to go in the community, which is going to be kind of a big list of B-roll ideas that photographers that are thinking about adding some video footage to their sessions can start to consider that maybe they didn't think about before. So for those of you that are in the community already, you'll find that there. So here are some of my favorite ideas. The first ones are about like establishing the location or the environment that you're in. So think about like, this could be a detail shot of a broom sweeping hay across the floor in the barn. I recently did a time-lapse video where I was hanging up my backdrop in a barn and the chickens were walking by in front of the camera and it was so stinking cute. I just felt like that was a great location scene. Like, this is the environment that I'm in. I'm in a typical farmyard situation and having the chickens walk by was adorable. You might film like the sleepy barn cat. Every barn I go to has a barn cat that's milling around. You know, film the barn cat sleeping on a bale of hay. Or even something like a steamy horse after a ride. So they pulled the saddle off. Like, that sets you in the location. Okay, I'm at a farm. I'm at a barn. I'm at a stable. And then, of course, I mentioned details, but shooting those small details, things like the close-up of the hands, you could think objects like, I think, farrier tools, for example, like those objects that are part of the work. Textures related to the story, so maybe buckling something, a mane kind of floating in the wind, a hand running through a mane, snowflakes landing on a horse's coat, a detail shot of a horse's eye, maybe a steaming cup of coffee sitting on a fence post, a lead rope looped through a hand, a horse ear flicking forward. These are all little tiny pieces that you can grab that you can add into the bigger picture. I like to think about videoing the work of horses. So maybe brushing manes and tails, braiding up a mane for a show, picking out hooves, saddling, adjusting the stirrups, a bit being placed in a horse's mouth. All of those little pieces, you know, when we're shooting photography, sometimes we think to photograph these things. So if you photograph it, ask your client to do it again for video or capture it in the moment for video as well. I mentioned time lapses earlier, but I think that's such an easy way to get yourself at work. So I'll set up a lot of times my cell phone somewhere, and then I'll go out and forget and just be working and shooting and doing my thing while the time lapse is happening. It's such a cool way to show yourself at work, show the sky movement, the sun, you know, moving in and out from behind the clouds. It's just a fun way to add something to your, an easy way to add video to what you're doing. But you can use it for, you know, moving horses. If you set up something where you're riding a horse in the arena or you've got your client riding an arena, you could be shooting, but also have your cell phone set up to video time lapse at the same time. Shooting, filming entrances and exits or transition. So maybe someone leading a course across the scene, someone walking down a barn aisle, someone mounting or dismounting from the saddle, and then, or leading a horse through a gate. I would tell you the video that has made me the most money as a stock video is someone mounting off a mounting block onto a horse. It's just a 3-4 second clip of someone stepping into a stirrup and throwing their leg over. That I will license that all the time. And it's just a single video that is so simple, but it's being used over and over again as someone kind of starting out, like they're starting, heading off on their ride, heading out on their adventure. And then I think about things like wardrobe elements too. So zipping up boots, buttoning a jacket, putting on riding or working gloves, zipping up your chaps or your cheeks, just having something, anything that has to do with the wardrobe or clothing. So this is a really short list of ideas, but I wanted to throw it out there because for those of you guys that are driving around in your car listening, hopefully it's inspiring you. I do want to say there's a couple people that I take a lot of inspiration from. The first, of course, is Natalie McFarlane, who Phyllis and I have both mentored with and follow her work online. And the video footage that her production company puts out is really inspiring and gives me a ton of ideas and really makes me think. There's also someone that I found on Instagram that I followed for a long time. Her name is Ali, A-L-L-I, Forsythe. It's F-O-R-S-Y-T-H-E. And she really breaks down how she uses short form video, B-roll footage to just tell little micro stories. And I take a lot of inspiration from her as well. So highly recommend you guys following both of those people and checking them out online. And I'm going to roll this over to Phyllis, unless you guys have anything that you want to add.
I want to add something.
Sure.
One of the things that I think that helps you with this process for inspiration is to start looking at movies and television and the things you watch on social media through a different lens. So instead of looking at it as just someone there to be entertained, start paying attention to how they tell the story. And particularly really well-filmed movies. So I'm a big fantasy fan. I love, you know, Lord of the Rings and those kind of movies. I watch the camera work that they do in those. And if you watch it through the lens as I'm going to create something in video or with moving images, and watch it through that lens instead of watching it to be entertained, you get a lot of inspiration from watching just the things that you would normally watch in a day-to-day situation to take to your own work.
I agree with that, Kim. And I also think don't discount video thinking that, well, I won't really use it that much. Because I think that doing video or looking at it through a different lens, like you said, actually helps your still photography get better too.
Yeah.
So there's that. Even though your still photography is going to be your main passion, don't discount video that it won't help you to further that. So
yeah,
that's all I wanted to say. Now it's your turn, Phyllis.
I get to talk about the boring stuff that I really don't even do.
You know, you don't have to say everything out loud. Sometimes you can just keep these things to yourself. I'll jump in. I do a lot of this stuff.
Inside thoughts.
Well, you know me, no filter. Yeah, I'm talking about from raw footage to completed video. Making a finished video from your raw clips, it really is a step-by-step process. You organize, you choose the best parts, you put them together roughly. I actually do that part. Then you kind of fine tune everything. You make the sound and the picture better until you have the final engaging video.
And voila, you're all done. The end.
Hi, you're all done. Easy. And I'm done. That was my segment. I'm all done. That's how you do it, y'all. So the first step, of course, is getting your footage off your recording media, off your camera, your memory card, onto a reliable, and I'm going to emphasize that, a reliable storage system. Making sure all the files are copied without any errors, creating a filing system for each project is so important. I usually base this on the shoot dates and locations. You can get even more detailed and rename your clips with descriptive names, which I think really helps when you're starting to put things together so that you don't have to go in and look at each one to know what it is. You'll have a name for it that tells you what's in that clip. That'll be easier to organize. And of course, just like with any kind of photography, videography, we still want backups. Be sure you have a good backup system. Once you've got your footage stored, you're going to want to bring it into whatever software you're going to use. Adobe Premiere Pro, DaVinci, Final Cut Pro are just a few. There's so many out there. And there's also a lot of apps that can help you do this. If you're just using it for social media, that can help you do this on a little bit more basic level too. The next step is to watch through all your raw footage. This is a part that is, you know, it's fun and it's tedious too, but it'll help you understand what you've captured. Take good notes on what the takes that you really like to use. And like I said, be sure you have those renamed. I'll do all this before you make your first cut. Really knowing what available footage you have before you make your first cut is really key. I think that's what you call know all the gold you have first before you even begin to do your actual editing. Of course, next you do start editing. You start assembling the main message of your video by selecting the best takes, arranging, basic trimming, getting a feel for the rhythm and the timing of your video. You want to pay attention to how each shot flows into the next if you're using more than one take. You want to be sure that you're creating a visual interest and conveying emotion. I think that's the biggest thing for me is I try to convey some kind of emotion with every video that I want to put out there. Storytelling is really important and engages the audience on a higher level. But this is the stage where your storytelling really starts to take shape and the video starts to become more polished. I think good audio is crucial. If you have recorded separate audio, you want to be able to synchronize that with your video. Make sure that you have consistent volume throughout the video. You don't want it, you know, kind of going up and down. Is noise reduction needed to remove any unwanted background noise? You have to keep that in mind. What I do is I don't even use anything that I've recorded. Well, on the rare occasion that I may have like a thundering herd of horses, and that's really cool audio, so I'm going to keep that, and I'm probably going to use that instead of, sometimes I'll use that instead of music, just because what's happening in the scene, the sound that goes with that, or just the sounds of nature sometimes are nicer than adding music to it. That is your audio. But most of the time, I'm adding music, or some people do add sound effects. I haven't done that yet, but to enhance the mood and add some impact to the video. And one note is to always make sure that you have the necessary permissions or licenses before adding any music or using any music in your video projects. There are several royalty-free sites that you can get on. Soundstripe is one of them. And of course, if you're doing Instagram, you can use their music that's already been approved. I don't do this, but I know I think Kim and Kara kind of getting into the color correction and color grading. That would be one more aspect of getting into it, of really polishing your video, is getting into fixing the color correction. You're fixing any inconsistency in exposure, the white balance, the overall color between different shots to create kind of a uniform look overall. The color grading, of course, is creatively enhancing the colors to achieve a specific mood, style, or even a cinematic look. That's kind of the thing these days, too, is the cinematic look, which you have a cinematic feature on your iPhone to use as well, if you'd like to do that and keep it simple, or at least I think most of the later models do.
You don't color grade your video footage?
No.
You have someone else do it?
I have someone else do all my video stuff.
Oh, okay. No, I was just like, do you just share it straight out of camera? I was just trying to understand that.
I don't personally do any of that. I don't. And so far, I haven't really, I don't even know that.
I have people for that. I have people for that.
I don't even know that she does a lot of color grading or color correction either.
Oh, okay.
If you don't shoot in C-Log,
yeah,
like if you're shooting just straight up in whatever the default setting is in your camera, color grading is not always that necessary. Absolutely, positively, 100% necessary when you do C-Log. If you like to alter it, it's better to do it in C-Log because you have more latitude. It's very similar to shooting in RAW.
Can you explain to people what C-Log is, Kim?
Well, it's a type of shooting that allows for more latitude.
It's kind of like RAW.
It is kind of like RAW. It's a very similar concept to RAW in still photography without getting too technical. And it does allow you more latitude in being able to enhance your shadows and highlights, as well as bring out depth of color. I think it's fascinating to do color grading, but it's very similar to when you shoot in JPEG on any still camera. When you're shooting with the default settings in your camera, it comes out kind of already color graded. And I do want to mention along with that, if you do shoot in the 120 frames per second, you do not get audio. Like it does not, your camera will not do audio there. You have to do audio on a separate device. And there are devices that are created to be able to capture the audio that goes along with that. And then you have to match it up and change the speeds of both things. So what I want to just caveat that with is if you have somebody who's talking, 120 frames per second is not the best way to capture that, because you have to sync lips with sound. And that is harder than it looks. So it's a consideration that you've got to get together.
Like I said, just call Phyllis's person and hire them.
Just call your people. Just call a person.
If you're shooting somebody talking, you don't want to do slow motion video of them anyway. So
exactly. I just want people to be prepared, though. If you shoot a bunch of stuff and then you're like, oh, my gosh, where's the sound? It does not record the sound at 120 frames per second. However, it does at the default settings in your camera, which, by the way, this is one of those things that I sometimes get myself in a little bit of trouble for saying. But when you're starting out, use the program setting here. It is totally okay. You will get good usable video that you can use on social media. You don't have to start out at the highest level. Stair step yourself into this.
Definitely.
My understanding as well, though, is if you're shooting at regular speed, you can't slow that down. But whereas you can take that slowed down and put it to regular speed.
No, you can't.
So it's very similar to resolution, right? So you can, it's just not as pretty.
It's not as pretty. Yeah. Well, I guess that's what I meant. Yeah.
I don't know how much it really does need. And I think, again, it goes to the purpose. Mm-hmm. So here's my take on this, of what my two cents that I'm going to add to it. If your video is going to be put into a much bigger project that is shot over time, let's say I decide I'm going to make a movie about cowgirls with cameras and I'm going to film it for 2 years over all of our events. If when I go to sit down to create the final film, I have to make that film consistent in color. If I shoot everything in C-Log, I have the latitude with that to be able to consistently color that video across the board. If I'm going out to just shoot for social media clips and those clips are never going to be put into a bigger cohesive project shot over time, I really don't need to have that extra step in my life. So it goes back to what I was starting out this conversation with, planning and what is the purpose for what you're doing. If you're doing something that is a much larger contained project, then you really need to have the ability to make that footage look consistent. Think about when you're watching a TV show and the coloring system is very consistent across the board. And some TV shows, like I love the FBI shows, those have a certain like filter put over the top of them that give them that FBI kind of look. You know what I mean? That's really important. And C-Log allows you the latitude to be able to do that really effectively. If that's not something you're going to do with your footage, you don't need to worry about that. It's an extra learning curve mm-hmm. and an extra step that I think is fascinating, but not everybody is going to find it that interesting. And it's perfectly fine to just shoot it the way it is.
Yeah. And I'm not doing that. So, I mean, what I'm doing, the color looks fine. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you got to kind of temper with what you're up to. What you're up to in this process.
And of course, the final stage is just uploading your video for its intended audience and platform. If it's social media or for a client for a portrait shoot or if it's like sale video. And this does apply to me, even though I'm sending my footage out for somebody else to work on. I'm going to talk about some common mistakes to avoid when editing, even though I don't do the final edits. The stuff that leads up to that for me is just plain failing to organize your raw footage and project files can lead to so much confusion and inefficiency. I know that from past experience.
Oh, I have that problem right now.
So, neglecting to create backups. I haven't had this issue because I do have backups, but can result in a loss of valuable work and that you can't go back and reshoot. But in case you had technical issues or any accidents, you know, that could lead to the loss of your work, be sure you have backups. And I think even though I'm not sending mine out for the final edits, I still want a workflow, a clear workflow that can lead to organization, not disorganization. But if you don't have a workflow, working without a clear workflow can lead to disorganization and inefficiency in your editing process. Even if, you know, no matter what stage you're at, I think having a clear workflow is really important.
I do have a couple of notes before Kira decides we're leaving here. So... I could see her preparing her final, like, follow us on social media. But I do want to add a couple of things that are just kind of hodgepodgey. So for me in video, audio was the hardest thing to overcome. I'm going to be honest with you. I have fought with audio problems for the entire time I've shot video, particularly because we do, as equine photographers, we do things in a place where you can't have a lot of cords running around. And so audio becomes tricky. And I highly encourage you to find somebody who's really good with audio who can help you be able to get like the wireless microphones and stuff you need. Back when I produced videos, I had a really nice set of Sennheiser mics that I paid a small fortune for. But let me tell you, they were tough. They've been tossed off of horses, stepped on, chewed on. I was able to replace all of the cords. They actually worked really, really well. And they did. The audio didn't cut out because nothing is worse than filming a 30-minute training video, getting back to your computer, sitting down, and the audio cut out on every fourth word. And then you have to go back to the horse trainer and say, I'm sorry, you got to do that again. So that was a fight that I had. So buy good equipment. If you're going to do audio, especially with people talking, make sure you buy good equipment and get some help with it. If you are doing audio and you're recording on a device that doesn't have good audio quality to it, there is a product that you can try called Adobe Podcast. So if you have an Adobe subscription, you can just type in Adobe Podcast, and it is an AI editing for audio, and it actually does a really good job. As a matter of fact, it does. If you have professional equipment, it doesn't make a tremendous amount of difference. But if you record something that is not on professional equipment, like on your iPhone or on your computer that you want to add as audio, it does an amazing job in making that sound really, really good. And you get X amount of it included with your Adobe subscription. Do check out Adobe Podcast. It's well worth the effort to take a look at that particular tool if you're recording on something that doesn't have quite as good an audio quality as you would like to have for your final production.
It just dawned on me too that I'm a Nikon shooter and I am shooting in 120, but mine plays back. Even when I play it back on the camera, it plays back in real time. It doesn't play back the slow motion. It is recording video.
Recording audio, you mean?
I'm sorry, audio. It is recording the actual audio because my girls actually used it on a couple of my...
I don't know. Mine does not record audio. Does yours, Kara?
For mine, it does. For Nikon, it does record the audio.
When I put my Canon, the R5, and I'm assuming the R3 because she's doing a lot of video on the R3, it does not record audio at 120 frames per second. It's silent.
That sounds like a mystery we need to unravel.
I'm just talking about my experience with Nikon. And then One more note, and I hope this is okay to add, because I referred Kara to Mark Smith's, it's a wildlife video editing masterclass, but it's with Adobe Premiere, but everything he does is totally relevant to what we do. And I think you're really enjoying it, aren't you, Kara?
Yeah, I was looking for something just to kind of make sure, because one of the things I learned is I knew more than I thought I knew, but I also... It like filled in some gaps, and I was looking for some kind of online thing that I could go at my own pace just to kind of fill in some of my gaps. And I have been really enjoying it. I've almost finished it. I'm on audio right now, actually. And I've learned a lot from it. So highly recommend it as well. And I appreciate the referral.
Yeah, maybe put that in the show notes too. For Mark Smith.
We've given people a lot of things to think about today.
Yes, we have. With that being said, we hope you've enjoyed this episode, and you can find us online at Cowgirls with Cameras on Facebook and Instagram, And if you are thinking about joining us somewhere out in the field, head over to cowgirlswithcameras.com. If you go to our events page, you can see all of our upcoming events. And you can also, if you aren't in our community yet, but you're like, you know what, that sounds like something I need to check out, you can navigate there from our website or just head to cowgirlswithcameras.community and you will find us over there as well. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.